Hello, everyone. You are listening to Those Are the Girls with Mallory and Friends. I'm Mallory.
I'm Maddie.
And we are changing culture and bringing back traditional values. Okay, everybody, have a great episode today. I am going to be talking with Maddie Frankies. We actually follow each other on Instagram, and we have had a conversation in the DMs just about the topics we've been talking about lately, especially on social media, about biblical, like, as women, like, what is our role about dating? You know, I've been very vocal on my personal Instagram and on the podcast Instagram about how I think we should all, I do think if you desire to be married, you should absolutely be married. I wait till you're 50. But I also think it's so important. It's better to marry late than marry wrong. And my big concern with this new, I guess this new trend or whatever is going on right now is that girls like myself, like Maddie, like anyone listening, that we will just, because we so desire, want to be married, we'll just marry the first guy that comes along without even looking at if he meets our standards. And as I said in another episode, I don't mean standards like height, who cares, whatever. I mean standards like he has an actual prayer life, or when he says he goes to church, he doesn't mean just on Christmas and Easter. You know, these are standards that we have that we cannot compromise. But my concern is sometimes we end up compromising because we so badly want to be married. Anyway, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about purpose. We're going to talk about all these things. This is going to be a great episode. Go ahead and share this episode with your girlies. Like, you guys are going to want to talk about it afterwards. So let me say really quick, Maddie is a writer, a speaker, podcaster. We'll link the podcast as well. A writer, speaker, podcaster, and advocate. She's amazing. I'm really excited. We've chatted a little bit before, and I think you guys are going to love her, and I'll link her podcast at the end so you guys can listen to it. Anyway, Maddie, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hi. First of all, thank you so much for having me. I've been listening to your podcast, and I'm really excited to share with your community kind of what's been on our heart. Yes, we did start this in the DMs, mostly because, like, I really fast rage texted you on this DM about something. I think you had posted something about someone was talking about toxic masculinity in the church. And then I just, like, I was, like, really typing very fast because this is something that's been on my heart, too, and how we as women, you know, should look for a mate, potentially. Potentially in the future, if that's what God has us called to, and what's our purpose? There's so many questions around that. And so I'm really excited to talk about that because it's something that I have struggled with. The last 4 years of my life have been, like, absolutely wild and crazy, and there are many twists and turns. And somewhere between, like, obedience and hard knocks and hard work, the Lord showed up in a big time in my life. And so there's just, through it all, it's been, like, one lesson that stands out. He is not looking for perfect. He's looking for someone who's willing. And so I struggled for a really, really long time about being perfect and having to be polished and perform for my worth and for other people's love and for the Lord's love. And I'm just so sick of that, especially for myself, but I also don't want that for other generations. And so I'm really excited to be here and share my heart. That's really where my podcast comes from. Unpolished Faith is about embracing all that we are to be raw and real and ready for all God has in store. And so I'm just excited for today and to have this conversation with you.
I'm really excited to have you on too. I want to just say something really quick about what you just said. It made me think of, so today I went to this empowerment, the day I'm recording, everyone. I went to this, like, empowerment brunch thing for my jewelry shop, the Pink Rose, and it was at a church, and she was talking about the Barbie movie, which, you know, is controversial to some people, but personally, I enjoyed it. There's good, you know, take the good, take the bad. Anyway, take the good, throw out the bad. But she was talking about, like, the speech, the iconic speech where she says, you do this, you do that. And what she said at the end just really stuck with me, which made me think of this, is like, America Ferrera says, it's impossible to be a woman. That's what she says at the end. Well, the speaker said something along the lines of, like, but God gives us something different. Like, what God calls us to do isn't impossible. We can do all things through God. So it's not impossible to be a woman. God has called us to do something with it. The world is telling us X, Y, Z, but what God has called us to do is this, this, and that. And we don't have to be perfect. She mentioned that numerous times. We don't have to be perfect, because that's what the world makes it seem like we have to be. We have to be perfect. So then that's where we have the back and forth. You got to be this, but you also can't be that. But that's not what God is calling us to do. God is calling us to be obedient. God is calling us to listen to him. God is calling us to be holy. Yes. God is calling us to lay down our lives. And anyway, that's just what you said reminded me of that. And I just wanted to share that.
Yeah, no, I think that's really great. We talk a lot about legalism in the church too. And I think a lot of it is natural. I think it's human nature to want to be perfect and to look at our own righteous works and say, these are good enough because look at me compared to this other person, and comparison is the thief of joy. And we look at all these different things, we compare ourselves. And the problem with the world's metric, with the legalistic metric, is that it's a moving target.
That's good, yeah.
And what I love about what Jesus did is he leveled the playing field. He said, actually, none of you are perfect. Even your righteous acts, he says in the word, even your righteous acts are like filthy rags before me. So if our best things that we do for the Lord, like giving to the poor and taking care of the needy and all these other things, are like filthy rags before him, it means there's something else that has to fill that space. And so I'm so thankful for Jesus and what he did on the cross. Because even as I'm like constantly like, let me be perfect for you. Let me perform for you. Let me be polished for you, Jesus. And it's no, Maddie, no, baby girl. That's not what I want for you. I did all of that for you. And so it just gives us this opportunity to operate from a place of love. And love is freeing. And it sounds so cheesy and so corny, but the love of God is completely and totally freeing. And it allows us to be ourselves, to use our natural gifts that he's given us to live out our purpose. And that is a beautiful thing.
Yes, 100%. And it's such, for me, it's such a relief to know that I don't have to be perfect. Mm-hmm. Like, it's freeing. It's a weight off your shoulders. You don't have to do X, Y, and Z to be perfect all the time, because it does feel that way once, you know, when you go out into the real world. Because that's another problem that I sometimes have with like the legalism, I guess you could say, in churches. And it, like you said, it's a natural thing, because when we, this is how I think about, you know, all the, I don't like to say rules, because rules probably isn't the right word, but all the things that God has given, like, all of the suggestions, I guess, I don't know the right words, but you guys know what I'm trying to say, that God has given us, is you want to do them because you love God and you want to honor him and you know that makes him happy. And it's such a, like a relief to know that, like, even when you go out into the real world and you have all these things going and you have to be, it feels like you have to be perfect. It feels like you can't make a mistake. It feels like, even with podcasts, and it's like, you know, you say the wrong thing and you get canceled or blah, blah, blah. It's just such a relief and like, such freedom to know that in God, you make a mistake, he forgets it. You have to repent. That's very important. You have to acknowledge that and repent. And then he forgets it. He's not going to hold it against you. You move forward. And repent isn't just like, oh, I'm sorry, God. And then you go back and do it again. It's like, God, I'm sorry. Help me not to do it again. And then you have conviction if you do make the mistake again. But, you know, that's another conversation. Anyway, it's just such a relief to just know that Jesus covers it all. Like, all the mistakes you make, he covers it all. You don't have to continue to hold on to it.
Yeah. And it's so burdensome too, right? To try to perform and to try to be perfect and to do all these things. I'm reminded of the scripture that says, cast all your cares and your anxieties on him because he cares for you. The term there that's used is actually the phraseology that would be used around a camel carrying all the packs. And if you've ever seen a camel unload, it rolls over to its side and it like clicks something there. I'm probably like a buckle or whatever. And it just drops everything. So God is literally asking you to like roll over and drop everything for him. Like, he's got it. He's going to carry that load for you. Just let it go. And I think that's the hard part, is the process of letting go. I'm really, really good at like, okay, God, you can have this. And then looking away. And then all of a sudden it's back in my hand and I grabbed it again. And it's this constant process of like, lay it down, pick it back up, lay it down, pick it back up. And that's why we're called to die daily, to pick up our cross daily, because it is a process. It's a struggle. But I found more and more as I spend time in his word and I spend time praying and I spend time just on my face before him, because I realize that without him, I can do nothing. And that's freeing. Truly, it's freeing. And it's hard to wrap your brain around if you've not been captured by the gospel. So I would encourage anyone who's listening who has not been completely enraptured and totally in love with Jesus. I think about Job 38. And this is like after Job's been through so much, he's been through so much suffering and loss. And he's asking God all these questions like, why? And then God tells him, he gives him more of himself. He tells him everything that he's done, who he is. He says, who are you? Where were you when I made the Leviathan? Where were you when I set the earth on its foundations? And then when Job sees that, he gets a fuller picture of God. It's like everything else falls away. So I think what helps us find our purpose, which helps us release that pressure to be perfect, is getting a more fuller picture of who God really is.
That's good. And I think kind of circling to the topic of dating, I think this is also something good to remember too, because I know, you know, being completely transparent, everyone, I know that I feel a lot of pressure in dating. Just to be perfect or just to, you know, perform in a specific way because this is how it's supposed to be. But like when you just kind of release it, like I'll say the last two years, I've really felt like a release. And you have to do the work. I hate saying that, do the work. You have to do the work to feel that way. You have to really, like you said, be totally in love with Jesus. Yeah. You have to actually like read your Bible. You have to pray. You have to really get to a place where you just give it all to God. And it's such a relief. Like maybe that's the theme of everything. Just giving it all to God is just such a release. Like I really
lay it down.
You know, obviously I'm a human. So there will be times where I do kind of get a little bit like, oh my gosh, is it going to happen to me? But then I will say most of the time I don't feel that way because it's just like, at the end of the day, I've given it to God. Mm-hmm. Like these are the things that we can give to God. And these are things that like God cares about. Yeah. So you can talk to him about that. But it's just such a relief to just not have to worry about it yourself. Because that's the other thing too. At the end of the day, like what God knows if you're called to be married. And God also knows when you're going to meet your spouse. So you fretting and worrying about it right now isn't going to make your spouse come quicker. It also can lead you to making poor decisions about who you think your spouse is too. And you can waste time with people who you should have never been with and like been there, done that.
I totally know what that's like. And you fill your plate with people that are not right for you because we make an idol. Can we like get super real now? We make an idol in the church of 100%. Marriage. I think we have done a huge disservice to our single people by lightly implicating that the pinnacle of Christian walk, pinnacle of Christian relationship is marriage. And so I want to completely like do away with that lie because that's a lie. Jesus was single. Paul was single. Lots of our founders of our faith, quotations, were single and they did great things for the Lord. I mentor a lot of girls. I've had a lot of really cool opportunities to mentor young women and they usually ask me about dating, which I'm always like, well, I am the professional dater of stupid. So absolutely, I will answer that question for you because I have filled my plate. I have done the missionary dating thing because I thought God was not going to bring me the right person. Mm-hmm. So I'll make it happen. And I've done the, oh my gosh, I'm going to date this guy even though like, oh, he's not like, I don't really think he's a believer, but he claims to be a believer. He ain't got no fruit, but like, I don't want to be alone. I can tell you from doing it myself. Literally, I remember a time in my car, and this was right before I met my boyfriend right now, which it feels weird to be like foot in mouth when you have a boyfriend and you're talking about singleness.
But you're not married.
But like, but hear me out. I'm not married. Okay. There's no commitment there yet. Still technically by that standard single, even though I am dating a really, really godly man. But right before I met, his name's Cameron. I had been in a relationship with a guy that was not a believer. Like a self-professed atheist. Wow. Y'all, I'm telling you, don't missionary date. And it's because I jumped the gun on the Lord and I thought, okay, I'm never going to have this. I really want this. I had made an idol of marriage so much so that I'm willing to compromise my values and my standards. And I remember sitting in my car, visceral conviction, like to the point where I'm throwing up because I know this is the wrong thing from the Holy Spirit. And I just cried out to God and I'm slamming my hands on the wheel like, God, I just don't think I love you enough, but I want to. And there was that moment of complete and total vulnerability before the Lord of like me thinking that I'm a good enough Christian to be like, no, I love God enough and I'm completely surrendered, even though this is like my one thing that is not surrendered to the Lord is my desire for a husband and a desire for children. And it was in that moment in my car, in my driveway, where the Lord was like, about time. Like, I knew it. Like, Maddie, come on, like, you're not going to hide anything from me. And so it was that process of opening that up. What we think we hide in darkness, and we think we hide from the Lord, what we do not reveal, he cannot heal. And so taking these things out and saying, okay, God, this is where I'm struggling. I immediately went home to break up with that man because I was like, no, I want to love the Lord more. And it was not me. It was the work of the Spirit within me. I can't take credit for any of that. It was a God-sized move. And he began to remove these things in my life and show me like, Maddie, like, I have made you. Who is your master? Like, am I your master? You say you love me. Do you love me enough to give me everything? What is your mission, Maddie? What have I made you to do? Like, I wasn't ready for a mate because he wasn't completely my master and I hadn't surrendered everything to him. And I still wasn't living on mission in the way that he's called me to disciple. Like, we are all, if like, pause for a second, just briefly. If you're like, I don't know what my calling is, let me tell you, I'm going to tell it to you right now. Here's a hot take. You are called to go into the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you're supposed to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. That is everyone's calling who claims that they follow Jesus. Now, how do you live out this calling? You use your unique gifts, your talents, those things that God has given you specifically on purpose for purpose because you're a unique creation fashioned in your mother's womb for a specific time such as this to fulfill that calling. So that's how you know. That's how you know what my purpose is.
We'll be clipping that.
So when you start developing those things.
No, I'm just saying I will be clipping that. That was good.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, that was good. Continue.
Oh, yay. That makes me happy when we can clip something.
No, that's good. But
when you, I love it. So many people ask like, hey, what's my calling? And I think it's way simpler than we make it out to be. It's really like, Jesus is not somebody who's like, I'm going to give you confusion.
Right.
No, he's a God of clarity. And he's told us what he's like, what have I required of you? Micah 6:8, but to live justly, to walk humbly and love mercy. Those are three things that he requires from us. And that's in the Old Testament. And it's the same thing across from now until the end of time that he requires of us. And so when we know those two things, who is our master, like, have I completely surrendered everything? And it's not like you're going to surrender it one time and it's going to be done. For some of us, like Paul, who had a thorn in his side, it's going to be a die daily thing. But if I'm completely surrendered, that is my master. And if I know I'm on mission and I'm able to take like, hey, I'm quirky as heck and that's okay. And I have the gift of gab. And so I'm going to be a podcaster and I'm going to talk and I love women and I want women to be like completely and unapologetically themselves. Like if I've got those two things, then I can start looking and say, okay, now who aligns with my mission? Who is a compliment to my mission? Because God partners compliments. And it's also not our job to be like, I'm going to go find somebody, run so hard for Jesus and trust Jesus to provide when he tells you look left and you say, oh, that dude. Yeah, him. That's the one. That's how you know.
That's good. I mean, you preach a sermon right there. That was good. No, that was good. I definitely... There was like two things I should have written them down. Two things that you said that I wanted to piggyback off of. First, about the mission. I think it's so important for us to remember that God has called us all to something specific. Like you said, like to make disciples. I think that's so important because I think we forget, we forget that and we get caught up in, I got to do this, this, and that. And then B, I think that sometimes we think that you can only do that if you're in the church. My church did this thing. It was like how to live and work your calling or something like that. And like, it was like 4 weeks for people who are in the workforce or who are in ministry. And like, how do you live out your Christianity? Yeah. How do you do this? Like, why do we even work? And it was so interesting. I have my notes. I'll post them somewhere. Hopefully, probably, maybe on the website or something. But it was really interesting, like, just how it laid everything out and how, like, God, at the end of the day, God has called, like you said, given us unique gifts, and he has called us to still be disciples. He's called us to be separate, to be holy, to be set apart.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, and we take that also to dating, to like to put it back to the dating thing.
Yes.
We take that to dating. And oh, I remember the other thing I was going to say. When you said about not totally surrendering, I think back, I went on a like 2 dates with this guy. I was just so, first of all, here's another thing too. We can't be so, and I'm talking to myself, we can't just be so happy that someone finds us attractive. Like, I don't know if anyone else has felt that way before, but like, you know, you get so, oh, okay, well, let me just give him a chance. And it's like, bam, bam, bam.
Oh, you think right, I'm cute. Yeah.
Oh, that like meme, like, mm-hmm. oh, you think I'm pretty? Like, that's definitely me. And I want to get better at that. Like,
yes.
You know, anyway. Mm-hmm. So I just remember I went out on this date. My friend posted a pic. We were out and my friend posted a picture of me and he messaged her. So I'm like, oh, this is a cute me cute. We got to know each other. We could not have been any separate. I think I've told the story before on the podcast. He is a libertarian socialist. What does that even mean? Exact opposite as me.
I don't even know what that means. That feels like an oxymoron.
So I was just like, that's confusing. He was deconstructing and he was pretty much done. And he was like further. And then we got on, as anyone who knows me knows how anti-pornography I am. I remember one night we got on a long, probably 2-hour phone call where I mean, we were screaming at each other about, he was very pro-porn and everything. And there was a time, and these are like big values to me. Like, if you know me personally, these are things that like actually really matter.
I'm sweating for you.
We had stress. And it was like, we like the same movies. We like the same TV shows. All the superficial things. I thought it was really cute. It was tall. Well, I'm 5'3½", so everybody's taller than me. But like, you know, he was significantly taller than me. All the things, that superficial things.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking, there was a point where like, I think we probably talked for like maybe 3 weeks. And toward the end of the 3 weeks when I broke it off, there was a point where I was just kind of like, I am just so happy, because like when we weren't fighting because we disagreed with everything, we did have a good time. Like, he probably could have been a good friend to an extent, not like a close friend, because like when those values mesh, you just can't be. Anyway, and I just remember that got to a point where it was just kind of like, okay, is like, I could keep doing this and it's gonna, like, this person's the exact opposite of everything that I've ever wanted. I also get on, I have a podcast where I talk about, you know, all these things, then I also look like a hypocrite. Or I can be like, you know what, God, like, this clearly isn't you. This clearly isn't who you have put for me. This clearly isn't, maybe I'll just follow that. And if that means I'm still single, you know, what's it been like 3 years later, then I'm still single 3 years later, but like, at least I'm following God. And I think that's another attitude we have to have. Like, what is more important, being married and having kids or like following God? And I think that, and it's so easy to say until you're in that moment, then you really have to like wrestle with yourself. And like, and we're saying this from people who get it. Cause I know sometimes like I'll listen to certain people in podcasts and like, not judging, but like you hear they got married at like, you know, 22, right? Like a week after they graduated, and then they had 2 years later, they had their first kid, and it's nothing, no judgment. I'm jealous. Like, I want that.
Yeah, could not be me.
Right. I would like it. So I'm not saying it's out of a place of like, you know, judging at all. Like, good for you. But it's, you know, I want you guys to know, like, that isn't my story. So I understand the struggle. Like, I understand wanting so badly.
Yeah.
So Maddie does this as well. Wanting so badly to be married. Because these are good things. But you just have to, like, what's more important? Like, what do you, have you surrendered this goal, this idea to God? And the other thing is, and this is controversial, I don't know how you feel about this, you can let me know your opinion on this. The other thing is, like, not everyone is promised a spouse, and I know a lot of Christians don't like to hear that. So, you know, you can,
so
I don't know which side of the aisle you're on.
Yeah. We don't like to hear that. We in the church don't like to hear that. And here's why I don't think we like to hear that. Okay.
Oh, wait, really quick. Let me just add this.
I'm just going to spill the tea.
Let me just add this. So
go.
But, yes. And the question is, like, if, even if you don't get your spouse, or even if you don't get your spouse till 40, are you still going to love God? Are you still going to follow him? Are you still going to serve him? Are you still going to stick with your, okay, these are my values, I'm going to stick with my values? Like, that's the question. Even if you don't get what you want in your 20s or your 30s, or even till you're 60, are you still going to continue to follow God? Like, Okay. Yeah. So what were you going to say? Why don't we like to hear that?
Yeah.
Okay. I have like seven different things to say. Hopefully I can remember all of them. ADHD brain. We'll see where it goes. Okay. So number one, I don't think we like to hear that because we, as the body, I don't want to say like pastors because I'm not pooping on pastors here. I'm just saying we, as the body of Christ, have lightly implied that to be single is to suffer. Okay. And you know how I know that is because I have heard it word for word in church. I remember a moment at my church where this kid was preaching and he was talking about suffering. It was a great, great talk on suffering. But he said, for some of you, you may be suffering with cancer. Some of you, you may be suffering with infertility. Some of you may be suffering with singleness. And I remember looking around like, whoa, we just looped infertility and cancer with singleness, friends. That is probably not right. But everybody else is like nodding in agreement. Like they get it. Yes, absolutely. And I get it. Okay. I'm not going to say that there is not suffering for those of us who want to be married, because Mal and I both want to be married and we both want to have kids, I'm assuming. Like there is a suffering in that, but I think it's because we portrayed it as you will suffer if you are single, that we think automatically we loop in our brains suffering and singleness. There are so many blessings. Like Paul even said, I want for you all to be single. Like it's way better just to fully devote your life to Christ and live on purpose for Christ. But because some of you won't have self-control, go ahead, get married. That's literally what Paul said. And so like, I get that. And so I can sympathize with that. And I also can sympathize with putting our plates so full with the wrong people because we're so worried that God's not going to do it. And God even says, like, surrender your desires to him. And we quote the scripture all the time, you know, oh, he'll give us the desires of our heart. That's not what that means. Actually, it means when we give our life to Christ and he starts to transform our lives to the power of his Holy Spirit in our heart, our desires begin to change. Mm-hmm. So our prayer needs to shift, not, Lord, give me a husband. Actually, our prayer should be, Lord, yes, I want a husband. You know my heart. You know my heart more than anything else. I want to be a wife. I want to be a mom. I want to take care of kids. I want to raise up a generation. But God, if that's not what you have for me, change the desires of my heart to want more of you. The best thing God can literally do for any of us, male, female, is give us more of himself. That's the best thing he can do. And again, like we get a bigger picture of who God is, it completely transforms the way we see things. And so for me in that situation where I know I'm in the wrong relationship, like he was so nice. He was such a nice boy. And I really, really liked him, but he did not love Jesus and he did not align with my values. And at the end of the day, I knew I had come to a point, a fork in the road, if you will, where Christ was calling me, Maddie, will you choose me or will you choose him? And that is a really hard fork in the road. I don't want that fork for anybody else. So please, please, please just go ahead and just like mix that. Make a list. Say, and I'm not talking about like a list of like, he needs to be, because if my list was like, he needs to be 6'5" and dark headed and whatever. Leah, my 12-year-old list. No, my list now is like, he needs to be humble. He needs to operate from a place not of domination or domineering, but from dominion. Like he's exercising dominion as Adam was called.
Ooh, I like that.
There's like so many other things that are, yeah, we could talk about that because I think that's where the red pill movement comes from, low key. hot take. They're just the characteristics of Christ that we look at and how like he asks men to die for their wives. Like that's, we do a lot. We surrender our authority under the male and under his protection because he's willing to sacrifice. And so character before like chat.
Oh guys, you know,
like the most important thing.
I character mean, matters. Really quick, I'm gonna say this thing about character. I was talking to someone about this recently and you know, I said something like, they asked me like physically what's my type. And like, sure, there are people who I find more attractive than others, but like I said that, and then I said honestly, like character is just so like character is just the most important thing to me. Like I don't really care. You can be the most handsome person on the earth. Like if you don't have good character, and I'm supposed to be with you forever, I don't want any part of it. Like it just does not matter to me. Character far exceeds anything else on that list. Obviously, part of character is your Christianity, but like it's submitting to Jesus. But you know. Character is so much more important. Oh my goodness, you guys. Most important thing. Okay, go ahead, Maddie. Keep going.
And it outlasts like a physical attractiveness. Like, I think for that sounds bad. My boyfriend's cute. I don't want to be like, my boyfriend's not cute. I'm dating someone that's not cute. No, he's like really good looking. And it's just so funny. It's just totally different than what I had listed out. Like, if I was,
I hear that all the time.
I was thinking like quarterback. Hang on. I think I can wait. I got a picture. This is obnoxious. I'm gonna do this. Like, look at this man. Yeah. Can you see that? Like, he's adorable. Big fan.
He is cute. You guys are cute big together. Big fan.
And he loves the Lord, but thank you. And now my blurry, I messed up the camera. I'm focused. Hang on. Yes. And I like, I love him, and I love him because he loves the Lord. Like, his character, like, yes, he's cute. And I remember looking at him and thinking, oh, he's so cute. I'm so into him. When we met at church. That. But over time, as I've gotten to know him better, it is his character. It is his drive. It is how much he loves the Lord and wants to look more and more like Jesus that has become the most compelling thing about him. And that outlasts physical attraction, physical ability, because we forget, I think oftentimes, like when we commit to like lifelong partnership with someone in covenant, as we should, we say in sickness or in health. And when we think about that kind of commitment, man, like if something happened to this person, would I be willing to stay? Would I be willing to commit everything to take care of him? Like if he cannot take care of me physically or monetarily anymore, because God forbid something happened, will his character keep me there? Will who he is keep me there? Because all of that other stuff fades away when hardship of life hits. We have to think through those perspectives because it means more. Marriage isn't just like this cute relationship that's on Instagram and TikTok. It's like actual doing life together. And that's
hard. Is my biggest, like, whenever get married. Yes, get married. But I just think it's a huge commitment. It is serious. It is more than just, you check the box. Look how based I am. I'm married at 22. Like, it's so much more than that. And I think that that's like my heart's desire is for every girl to listen to, like, come to that realization. Yes, getting married is great. Getting married young, perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with that. What is most important is you take it seriously. Is not just, especially as a Christian, because when, as Christians, we do not divorce. Now, you know, everybody's going to say, well, what about abuse? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, take out the extremes that God outlines in the Bible. Take out what God outlines in the Bible. We do not divorce in sickness or in health. I know that we don't necessarily have to talk about this, but I don't know if you've seen that couple that goes viral every couple of months where they were young and they got married, and he had a traumatic brain injury and she divorced him and remarried, and she like brings her kids and her new husband to visit him and they take care of him. It's actually like, you know, you guys, everybody can tell me their opinion on it, but like, to me, it's like very icky, especially because like she records it and he's like, anyway, that's a whole nother conversation. But my point is, like, the truth is, like, when that happens, ideally, no judgment to this woman, you know, from what we see on the surface, people are like, oh, he could get better Medicaid if they're divorced. Sure, I don't know. But like, from what we've seen, you know, in sickness, this is sickness. So like, this is serious. Like, whoever you're with is very serious. So it's not something to be taken lightly. That's my biggest point.
Yeah. And that's really hard. I've never seen that. And I think Instagram algorithm knows better, because I think it knows I'd be like, I don't want to see this anymore. This angers me.
It's really uncomfortable because like she's filming him and he's like, he can't consent. There's no way he's consent. I don't know. That's another issue that we have, is like everybody feels like they should film everything. And like, you know what? Maybe she's doing something very noble, but like maybe just send it to your group chat, like your family group chat. Like, I don't know if the whole world needs to see it. Anyway, continue.
And Instagram's not reality. And I think oftentimes we look at these Instagram couples and it makes us covet. That's a other thing. That's a whole other thing, the rabbit hole that I'm about to chase. But I want to say something really quick, because why is marriage so sacred? Okay. We should address that. Like, why is it such a big deal to God? Well, in the beginning, he created Adam and Eve, man and woman. And it's to bear his image to the world. We are image bearers together, Adome, meaning man and woman together. And it's, we bear his character. We are light bearers. We bear his image. And why do we think that marriage is on such an attack today? It's because it's attacking the image of God. And I want us to take that very seriously. Please hear me. Man and woman together, man and woman together, married together, in covenant marriage together, bears the image of God completely as a whole totality. Not that you aren't as an image bearer when you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. No, you are an image bearer. But there is something sacred about marriage that God created it as the first foundational unit of society. Before he created government, before he created kids, it was man and woman together in marriage. And it's so, so, so important and so, so, so sacred. Don't just jump into it because you see these Instagram couples, because it's making you covetous. Like, that's something I have wrestled with, because I see these couples on Instagram, I can be honest with you, and TikTok, and I'm like, oh, but they're so cute. And I want to be like that. But I don't know what's happening behind their closed doors. We don't know what's happening behind their closed doors. People are really good at making things look really good on the internet. And so what has helped me when I see these cute TikTok videos of couples that I follow that I'm like, oh, I just like them so much, is actually laying it down before the Lord and saying, I'm going to turn off my social media today because I'm feeling a little jealous, or I'm feeling a little covetousness. Because I'll be 27 in August, and I'm not married. I don't have kids yet. My sister got married before me, my younger sister. So I had to deal with a lot of like, oh my gosh, Ashton's engaged. When are you going to? And this was at this point in time when Ashton first got engaged. I had no prospects. So I was at all these family events where they're like, hey, you're doing this out of order. Thanks for recognizing that. That wasn't something I was already thinking in my brain. And so I just think we can do a better service for each other too, by thinking of like, okay, if I post this, it's going to make my brother and sister wrestle. Is this something they're going to struggle with? Like that sacrificing meat to idols principle. Like, yes, everything is good and profitable for me, but am I acting from love for somebody else if I know that they struggle in this way? I just think those are some good thoughts for our thinking.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. Especially, and so you were saying for the Instagram couples, and I think some of us who are really into politics, like if you're coming, hopefully you have realized that some people have changed over the years and you've come over and join other girls. You're welcome here. The water's great. We're all sweet and kind. And we love Jesus, and he's more important than winning any argument. He's more important than owning the libs or whatever. Another thing I think is, I heard someone say this in a podcast, I can't remember who, but it was like, we're making decisions based on like politics or based on being, checking this box that we need to check to prove that we're cooler. Don't do it for that either. You know, there's all of these, I've talked about this before and I'll say it again, the Charlie Kirk video where if you're not married by 30, good luck, you're going to have the cats and all that other stuff. Like, don't let that control you. Cause as someone, I mean, I turned 30 in November, and like, I think that's something I think about occasionally. And like, I know how that feels as someone who's almost 30. I can't imagine how that feels someone who's 21 and 22. And you know, you might not have even started dating yet. Cause that's another thing too. There's some girls, and you guys have messaged me, so I know it's true. Like, there's some girls who are like 21, 22 who've never dated, never kissed before. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I want to say there's nothing wrong with that. Honestly, if you can hold out till your husband, kissing and date, if you can just date your husband, that sounds so ideal. Chef's kiss. So there's nothing wrong with that. But I can imagine how that feels thinking about that at that, even young. Like, now I've kind of, because as you get older, you kind of just kind of like let things go. Like, I feel like, sometimes I internalize it, but then it's also most times I'm kind of like, it's whatever. But when you're younger, I feel like most of the time you're like internalizing it. You're thinking like, oh yeah, I got to do this. Even though I'm 22, I have plenty of time, but I got to, yeah, you have a timeline. And like, anyway, I just don't want you guys to think of that either. Like, that's not a good thing either, just to own the libs. Or one of my friends was telling me, he got married right after college, and he was telling me that he like spoke at an event or something, and some kid came up to him and was like, wow, that's really cool, you got married and right after college, like, that's so, like, you're so awesome. And he's like, well, I met her and I got married. Like, it's not like I wasn't doing it to, like, you know, move forward my political opinion. Like, I was just I liked her. We were Christians. We got married. Like, it's not like that big of a deal. So we have to get out of this mindset of like making all these decisions based on like our politics. Like, we make decisions based on God. Mm-hmm. Like, that should be your number one thing. So I just wanted to add that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's something very valid to bring to this conversation too, is the opinions of others. Making your decisions on the opinions of others, regardless, whether it's politics, friends, family, all these things. A couple thoughts here. So you brought up the age thing, and the first thing that was brought to mind was God has the business. He is in the business of using the unlikely, the unmentionable, and people that the world wouldn't pick. Like, Sarah didn't have a baby until she was well past her ability to have a baby. So if God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And I don't want you to like put yourself on a timetable like, my 5-year plan, I did that. Please hear me. It is like the most stressful thing you will ever do. Like, just say, hey, my plan is God's plan. Just, you know, his plans are good for me. They are good for me. And I trust my father. Like, okay, so some people don't have a good relationship with their dad. And that hurts my heart. And that makes me very sad. But our father, who is in heaven, is a good father. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, where there's no shadow and turning a light. So if every good and perfect gift comes from our Father, we can trust him that he's like not going to give us a snake. If we're asking for bread, he's not going to be like, ooh, pulled a fast one on you. Right. Sneaky snake here. No, that's just not in his character. There's just certain things God cannot do. And above all, he is holy. He is good. He is merciful. He is just. And because that's his character, I think because we look at God like we look at people, like the Roman and Greek gods were like very much so like people. And that is not the God that we worship. The God of the Bible, Yahweh, Jesus Christ, that is not at all him. And so I think shaking that part of our religion by saying God is good and he wants good things for me helps to shape and follow. It's really easy to follow somebody that has your best intention in mind. Like, he wants the best things for me. And so, and doing away with that too, also does away with other people's opinions. My huge stark warning here too, when you read in, oh goodness, Kings or 2 Samuel, don't quote me directly, but I'm going to talk about Saul here. So Saul was king of Israel before David was. And we remember David because David was a man after God's own heart. He did a lot of messed up stuff, but he still loved the Lord and the Lord rewarded him for that. Saul was the king. He had the favor before David. And it says, I wish I could find it. You're going to have to search this later. And I would love for you to put this in the podcast description. But Saul lost it, not because of everything else that he did. Saul did a lot of messed up stuff. But it says word for word that he worried about the opinions of man more than he worried about God.
That's good.
And so Saul lost his kingdom. He lost his crown. And he lost his legacy because he was so worried about what everybody else would think of him and what everyone else was doing. So this really comes back to what happened in the beginning of our conversation, was focus your eyes on Christ. It all centers on who's your master. Who is my master? Who is my master? Maddie, I have to do such a self-check on this because I find myself at the times where I'm going, I want to be perfect. I want to be polished. It's often not times because I want to do it for the Lord. It's because other people are watching me. I want to do these things because I have to be perfect because they're looking at me. And it's a comparison game that I'm playing in my brain. And God didn't do that. He doesn't look at Mallory.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to be really upset.
Okay,
good. He doesn't look at Mal. Okay. He doesn't look at Mal and he doesn't look at Maddie and say, well, Mal's doing better. Therefore, Maddie is going to do less. No. Mal's on her own path that he has created. It says that every step is ordered in the Bible. The steps of a righteous man, the steps of a righteous woman are ordered. It even says in the Bible that David did everything that God had for him. He laid out in his life and then he died. So you should know that your plans are for you and you will do everything that God has asked for you to do. And then one day you're going to die. And I know that's like hard to think about, especially at like a 27-year-old, but like it's comforting to know like, the Lord has things specifically for me, Maddie Frankies, that I will do that no one else is going to do. because he's laid out our plan so intricately. Before the foundations of the earth were even laid, he knew that he wanted a Mal, and he knew he wanted a Maddie, and he knew he wanted a listener that's listening to this. And so all of those things, like the things that we think really, really matter, like marriage, like kids, like politics, like all, if we shape our focus around who Christ is and we get a bigger view of him, it's like all these things are great, wonderful gifts that he can give us, but I just want more of him, and I'll be okay with that.
That's 100% true, especially the last part, what you were saying, like once you just kind of like completely surrender and you just have your focus on God, all the other stuff is just so secondary. All the other stuff, and I know in my life, the last couple, I'll say year and a half or so, I've really just been focusing. That's why, like, I feel like so many other aspects of my life have kind of just gone, like, I'm not caring as much. I have really been trying to just remember the, I can't remember who said it, but another person, I heard someone say, like, is so much more important. Someone's soul is more important than, like, winning an argument. And, like, as someone who I love, not, I don't say arguing because that sounds like so, why do you argue? But like, I love having
a verbal skirmish.
I love having conversations about topics that are just taboo. I think it's fun. I think it's cool. Like in my bio on dating apps, it used to be, until my friend told me I should take it out, it used to be my two favorite topics to talk about are politics and religion. Because those are the two topics that are super controversial.
Love.
My friend was like, you're not going to attract the right people. Mm-hmm. And she's right. It wasn't the best thing. But anyway, my point is, once, you know, you're completely focused and surrendered, all that other stuff just kind of like becomes secondary. Oh, wow. This is very deja vu. I feel like, anyway, sorry. Maybe I dreamed this. That's so crazy. Okay. Sorry. This was like such, like me doing this and like talking was so deja vu. Anyway, I'm going to keep that. I'm not going to cut that out. But anyway, what I was saying was, everything else is just secondary. Like when you're really focused on God, when you're focused on like your relationship with him, when you're focused on what he has specifically called you to, in the sense of like what Maddie was saying earlier about your specific talents and gifts, when you focus on those things, all the other stuff does not matter. It doesn't really matter what other people say. It doesn't matter if you're not married by 30, like all these things, just, it really, it's just so secondary. Like, I don't know how else to say it. It just becomes secondary.
Yes. It all does. And you know, that's a big, like, it's a big burden that I have for this generation. Cause I think it's one of the biggest things that we fight. Now, we fight a lot of stupid. I don't want to like just cherry pick that there, but I think the biggest thing for us as a generation is overcoming this idea that other people's opinions and standards and metrics matter for us. They don't. That's a real big reason why I started Unpolished Faith, because I was like, man, I'm not the only one that feels this way. Because when I get DMs from girls who are like, please, thank you for saying this, because I've been thinking this forever. I'm like, no, it has no standard. It has no metric. You know what really matters? I mean, read Revelation. If you scary book. But if you want to know how it's going to end, like, read it. You know, there is a kingdom that is coming, and Jesus is going to sit on the throne. And he's going to rule and he's going to reign forever. And we have an opportunity to lay gold and silver and precious gems at his feet. And that's why Paul says, run well, run the race you were given and run to win, because there is something for you to win. It's not like we just do this whole Jesus thing and then die and then we're done. No, we are playing for eternity here. And so the reason why that matters is because there are other people who are also playing for eternity and have no idea. They are blinded to that. The devil and the God of this world has blinded them to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And again, to tie back to like our calling and our mission, like, yes, we are so supposed to go and make disciples. There are things that matter, and we get cool gifts and we get cool partners. Like, marriage is a partnership for us to live on mission together to go and make disciples. Community is a partnership for us to live on mission to go and make disciples. And it all should be like, how many people can I take with me? How many people can I, because the other team is playing that
100%.
Way. They are playing to say, how many people can I take with 100%. Me to help? And we should play. We have the victor's crown because of what Christ did on the cross, death, burial, resurrection. He won. So we play on the winning team. Let's play to win. Let's take us as many people with us as we possibly can. That should be our goal. And it should shape everything that we do. every desire that we have should be through that filter. And it's a lot easier said than done. And it's what it is God, change my heart. God, I don't feel this way today. God, I'm looking at my sister, my younger sister who got married before me, and I'm sitting here at 27 years old and I really want babies. God, change my heart, change my desires. Either you change my circumstances mm-hmm. or change my desires. And it's just a constant giving and having to trust him through that and saying there something matters. It's worth more. It's about becoming all I was made to be, God. It's about becoming all I was made to be. Help me be exactly yeah. who you want me to be.
God's will be done is something Lord willing. My grandma used to say that all the time. Da, 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 Lord willing. God's will be done. These are things that like I have really tried to, you know, in my prayer journal, whenever I'm like praying for a desire, mm-hmm. like even marriage, like, God, I really, really, really want to be married. I really want children, God. Let your will be done. If this is what you have called me to do, you know, if your timing, I'm ready. If you could speed it up, that's great. Whatever you need to do to him, mm-hmm. get him over here. But if not, like, change my heart. Like, at the end of the day, though, God, I want your will to be done. Yeah. Like, that's my prayer. And I think yes. that is just, like, the posture we should have and, like, everything, though, too. Like, and that's hard. I mean, like you said, that's, oh, gosh, it's so hard because I am a planner. Like, I definitely did the 5-year thing. I had, and, oh, that was another thing I wanted to add. Mm-hmm. And I did this, and you said this too about like, okay, I'm going to be married by this date. Like looking, you know, logically, even how we can't really plan that. Like, how are we going to plan who we're going to marry? Because we don't even know. Like, what if I was in Australia and my husband is in like China? Like, how would I? But this, you know, these 2 years I need to be in Australia for some, like. Looking back, like, why did I do, like, you can't control yeah. another person. Like, you, so anyway, mm-hmm. my point is, like, even logically, and it's just part of, like, I think also being a Christian, like, I went to Christian school, and I remember we read When God Writes Your Love Story, and I'm not against any of that, by the way. Like, I think those are fine. Mm-hmm. I just think we have to figure out, and, you know, someone smarter than me should do it, but we have to figure out how to balance it, because I do remember thinking like, okay, I gotta get married. Like, this is, guys, this is not like, oh, it's not a drill, everyone. I have got to get married. I remember thinking this in high school, especially because like everyone around me was dating, and at the time I wasn't really dating. I hadn't dated anybody. I didn't kiss anyone until I was 18. Like, you know, I remember thinking like, okay, this this is crunch time. This is part of being a Christian, is getting married. So I don't know how we balance that. That's like a you know, another conversation that we can still have, but like we just gotta figure out that balance. But you know, we back to what I was saying about the timing thing is like, at the end of the day, it's once we surrender that to God, it is such a release, because I know for myself there's a lot of things that I wanted done by 30 that are kind of impossible to do now, seeing as it's like right around the corner, but I've released it to God, and it has been like such a relief. It's been such like a weight off my shoulders, like, you know what, that just didn't happen. Okay, that's fine. At the end of the day, it's God's timing. So,
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think about, if I can be super honest with you, I had so many desires that, like, now that I look back on those, I'm like, that was such a silly thing, Lord. Why did I ever pray for that? And that's why I love, like, a prayer journal. Keep a prayer journal. Like, if that's, like, one takeaway, you want one takeaway for today is, like, keep a prayer journal and track what you're asking for. Because there are things that I ask for that I'm like, I didn't even really want that. Like, I played soccer in high school, and I was a real big soccer gal. I played for the U.S. development team, like, to go play for the national team. And I was like, God, all I want to do is play in college and da-da-da-da-la-la-la and all these other things. I don't want to be a professional soccer player. And that did not happen for me. And my sister would have not met her husband had I not gone to the University of Arkansas. And so, like, there's just things, like, you don't see these things until – you look back and you say, holy cow, God just writes a way better story than I could ever think of. Like, the things that I thought would be like so great and so wonderful for my life. And it's like, had I not showed up to church this one day where I was like, I needed to sit on the porch because I was hanging out with this other dude who was my friend at that time, and we were just chit-chatting. And then Cameron walks up because he knew that guy because he met him at the gym. Like, it's just things that we can't line up for ourselves at all. And they're way better. And it sounds so easy and so churchy to be like, just trust God. That always drives me crazy. Like that, the pretty committee, like, oh my goodness, it's going to all work out. It's hard for play out there. I am not going to lie to you. This is a very hard thing to do. This is the thing that Christians struggle with. This is the hardest thing, is to lay down our desires before the Lord and get off the throne and let Jesus sit on that throne where he belongs. But man, oh man, when we start to do it and we see him more and he just lays it out so perfectly and he does it better than me. I am not a good God. I would be a terrible God. I've learned that now. I would be the worst God ever. I would not even be able to hold the planets in alignment, much less worry about Maddie Frankie's taking the next breath. But he does all of that. Like, controls breath, where who's going to take it. He's holding the planets into alignment. He's putting people in your path for you to meet for a specific reason, for a specific purpose. All of that he's doing for every person on this earth, for every person who's listening. Like, he's got you. So it's the process is like, will you trust him? He's shown you the evidence. It's there. Will you believe him? Will you take him at his word?
So we're almost at an hour. But what I want to add, one last thing I want to talk about, you know, it can be another 30 minutes, but let's maybe not another 30 minutes. We can make have another episode. Definitely want to have you on again.
I'd love to have you on again.
But yeah. I want to, whenever we hear these conversations at church, you know, you go places, go to relationship talks. Wait. We never talk about, even for women specifically, what are we supposed to do if you're still single at 25? And, you know, you haven't had your kids. Like, what are we supposed, like, what is it? Like, because there's never, like, the solution, or not a solution. There's never, like, how do we best operate in our singleness? Because it's not a curse. It's just another state of being. It's not like it's, yeah, it's another state of being. What should we be doing?
Yeah. Okay, great question. I think the churchy answer is like, oh, pray that the Lord will deliver your husband. No, girl, get out there. Like, you, okay, so my sister is lucky. The Lord quite literally dropped her husband off on the porch because Gavin came home with me to meet my family, and then they met here at my house.
Okay.
So
he literally brought
him. But that's not the story for everyone, okay? Like, literally brought him there. But he does not do that for everyone, okay?
He just gave a bunch of people home. I just want you to know that.
Only. That's why I'm gonna say, no, that does not happen for everyone. Like, I mean, you have to put yourself out there. And so that's why it's important. Like, we talked about master, we talked about mission, we talked about knowing your specific gifts. Like, know yourself. Like, what are the things mm-hmm. that you enjoy? Get involved in the community, plug in, be in church, be involved in a community group, have friends, meet friends, all of these things. Like, you have to go out and do things. It's not like it's just going to be dropped off on your door. And that, it's another big thing. It's like, know who you are. People are always like, you can kind of get married and figure it out. I think it's important to at least know those two things. Who is your master and what is your mission? Because it does filter out kind of all the silliness of other boys that may not fit into the plan that God has for you. And you don't get distracted and waste your time with things that are not for you. And plugging into community, getting to know people in your community that like similar things to you, puts you at a bigger advantage to solve that problem. So I'm not going to give you the churchy answer of saying, pray he'll drop him off at your door. That happened one time. And one person that I know, and like the thousands of people that I know, one person in my life did that happen to. It's usually from a friend of a friend or at church. So plug in with Christian community, with God-fearing people, God-fearing women who have God-fearing guy friends, get to know each other, hang out, do fun things, go bowling, go roller skating, play cards, and then plug into church. Those are the things that are important.
And I want to just...
Was that too tea
drop? No, that was good.
Too much of the hot tea there?
No, I think that's, okay, that was good. And I want to piggyback off of that. Like, you have to also live your life. You know, you can't sit at home scrolling on Hinge and Tinder, which I'm not necessarily against those apps, I guess. But like, because I mean, I know people who got married from all the apps, even Plenty of Fish, which is crazy to me, but they seem to be doing fine right now. But you can't sit at home doing that all day. You have to live your life. You have to go bowling, meet people, do friends, volunteer. Like, I think another great thing to do, just in general, as being single is like something for someone else. So, you know, volunteering, yes. Go, your friend has a, she does violin and you want to go to her con, that's a bad example, but you guys know what I'm saying. Like, your friend is a, trying to think of, your friend serve people. That's you know? What I mean.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to make up these scenarios.
Yeah. I know where you were going with that. I picked up what you were laying down.
So, like, serve people. Like, this is a good time. And then you meet people during that. And I think you're so right about the, it's either a friend, like, realistically, if you want to meet someone in real life, it's either a friend of a friend or it's at church. So these are, you know, live. Like, that's one, another thing that I really want us to do. I want us to live. I don't want us to be at home wishing things were different, which, you know, sure, there's a time and a place to pray. And there's a time and a place to, I guess, no, there's not a time and a place to just sit at home. You do things, live. That's my biggest thing. Live, everybody. Yes. Because I think that's what.
Yes. And pray without ceasing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Live in expectation too, that the Lord is going to just do something cool, whether it's bring your husband that day or give somebody to you that you need to minister to. I think it's a really cool thing that we get to live as believers, that there is a holy expectation that God is going to show up in my life today in multiple ways, and look for those things. Write them down. Write down the holy ways that God meets you in the middle of your day, because then it becomes about joy and having joy. And joy is so attractive in people. Like, that is, like, probably the most joy, like, the most attractive quality is somebody who is loving life and living life. And so, like, if you want to be like, how can I automatically become more attractive? Grow in your relationship with the Lord and love life. Love the opportunity that you get to breathe and live today. You know, because tomorrow is not promised to all of us. Like, it's not. So we should enjoy today for what it is and just look forward to the expectation that God's going to show up in a really cool way, whether it's going to be an answer to my prayer that I've been praying for years and years and years, or whether it's going to be a way that I get to serve somebody else. Man, God is going to show up today.
Is there anything else you want to add?
I think I'm looking at my time. I was doing so good. I was like, we got to keep it right in our time for now. You know, I'm thankful that you had me. I'm excited to come back. You're doing a really cool thing here. By having very real conversations. It's what we're trying to do over at Unpolished Faith as well. And so I'm really thankful that there's people in this space, because for a really long time, it was just like the happy churchy answers. Yeah. And I want to talk about hard things, because that's what real life is. It's like these taboo topics that we think we can't talk about because, oh, we've been told by the church, well, we can't ask that because that's a hard question. I want to answer those questions. I want to have those conversations, because our faith is so much richer and deeper than we think it is. It's not the surface level thing. And so that's why I'm thankful to, like, enter into the conversation as well. And I'm so thankful for having
your podcast too, and, like, what you're doing. I think it's just so important to also, like, and my heart with this podcast is to give, like, practical answers. Like, we talked a lot at the beginning, but I'm really glad we talked about, okay, practically you're listening to this, because I hate listening in church, hearing a sermon, and then, you know, there's no practical, like, love God. Okay, but what does that look like? Okay, I love God, sure, but, like, how do I live out my love for God? So it's tiny things like that. So I'm really glad that we have that we were able to do this, and that we're both in this space. And if you're listening and you have a podcast similar to us, like, let me know. I'd love to have you on, because I do, like, I want us to continue to have these real conversations, and I want us to continue to grow, I guess, for lack of a, I know this sounds really cheesy, like, we should all grow, but no, I think we should, because, I mean, and kind of back to the relationship thing, that's another, like, when you are in your and I don't even want to say waiting season, when you're just living, I guess, for lack of a better word, when you're just living, is also good to just, like, improve yourself. We can all improve in so many things, be it your health, be it your, you know, learning a new skill, be it, you know, you have some habits you need to cut, like, use this time to work on that. Because I know for myself, like, when I get in relationships and this is something I need to work on, like, my health, like, goes to the back. Like, I'll admit that. Like, I'm not, like, if you look at pictures of me, like, before and after day, like, it's something I need to work on. So, like, use this time to work on your health, use this time to learn your new skills. Anyway, that's just adding that to there. But yeah, I'm really grateful you came on, and I definitely want to have you on again. This was great. And tell everyone how to get in contact with you if they want to talk to you more, and then tell everybody about your podcast, where to find it, and all the jazz.
Perfect. Yes, that would be so fun. Yes, if you have questions, you want to talk about things that we've talked about, also you want to talk about other things, that's totally fine. You can find me on Instagram at Maddie Frankies, M-A-D-I-F-R-A-N-Q-U-I-Z as in zebra.
I will definitely
she's willing to put that in the podcast description too, just the links that are easier. Yeah. And then we're on Instagram at Unpolished Faith. It's pretty cool. God's done like insane things. I can't even wrap my brain around what he's done. But we have a couple thousand people who are listening regularly to what we're talking about over there. And I think it's because the same thing with Mal, why people are listening to Mal's podcast. People want the real, they want the raw, and they're ready for all God has in store. And so if you're one of those people, come on and enjoy us. We're over here. We're on Apple. We're on Spotify. We're on anywhere you can listen. Unpolished Faith is our show, and we'd love to have you join our community. And yeah. Oh, I've got a website too. MaddieFrankies.com. So if you want to have me come talk at whatever you have, I would love to talk about opportunities.
Thank you. And if you guys enjoyed this episode, please leave 5 stars and then leave a rate, review, subscribe, however you're listening, Apple, YouTube, Spotify, all the other ones that Anchor used to do, wherever it's being sent, however you're listening. Actually, if you are listening and not Apple or not Spotify, you have Instagram, can you message me? I am curious, like, where else? I just clicked the button so it sends everywhere. I'm curious where else people are listening. Anyway, thank you guys for listening, and I hope you have a good day, night, evening, however you're listening. Bye.